Last Word on Today FM.
Let's hear US President-elect Donald Trump declaring victory at his election night watch party in West Palm Beach.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president. And every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family, and your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you, and with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have. This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
Donald Trump. We will be going to the United States in a little while to Lawrence Donegan, and then after 5 o'clock to Marion McKeown, Cal Thomas, and we'll also have Larry Donnelly here in studio with us. But I want to start by asking what this would actually mean for Ireland. We have Gary Murphy with us, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU. But first, Danny McConnell, editor of the Business Post. I note that with alacrity, Taoiseach Simon Harris congratulated Donald Trump. But what are they really thinking, government buildings?
They are, I won't say depressed, but they're certainly concerned of what a Donald Trump second term will mean for Ireland. I think as they would conclude, we kind of dodged a bullet in between 2016 and 2020, given the chaotic nature of the Trump presidency, that he had talked a lot about tackling Ireland's unfair tax system, the movement of profits from big US companies through Ireland, all that kind of stuff. And there was a move to reduce US corporation tax. I think the Donald Trump 2.0 essentially will be a far more organised Donald Trump. I think the organisation almost expected, you know, it seems behind the scenes that they're a far more coherent operation. That does spell trouble for Ireland. I think, as Bertie Ahern was making the point on radio this morning, you know, you have to strip out, I suppose, a lot of the rhetoric from Donald Trump, but you do, like, if there's a move on tariffs, if there's a move on the corporation tax, there are likely ramifications. You know, meetings and soundings I'm taking, like, this affects everybody. This will affect, you know, large business, small business. It will affect our university sector because we take a huge number of US students in here, and that could be, there could be impact there about their ability to actually, you know, will the US government stop funding, you know, American students coming over here? That could have a huge impact on us here. So the ramifications of a Donald Trump win are seismic. As Bertie Ahern also made the point again, you know, the Republican administration tend to be far more difficult to deal with from an Irish perspective than a Democrat. The Democrats tend to be much more open to Ireland, the Irish agenda. It has tended to be much more difficult to try and get the ear of a US president or a Republican president. Donald Trump, although he has a base in terms of his doombag operation in County Clare, you know, hasn't been that aware of events and politics in Ireland. And I think what I've been hearing today is that there is a fear that our administration here, with an election coming, but our permanent government and our agencies like the IDA and Enterprise Ireland will have their work cut out connecting with the Donald Trump administration.
But Gary Murphy, I understand you think that we had these fears 8 years ago and that they didn't materialise. But isn't it different this time, that given that he will have control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and that also he has the experience of not having had it all his own way the last time and may be more determined to do it his way this time?
Yes, Matt, I do, and I do think that it might not be as bad as the sort of grim picture Danny just painted. What do they say? Campaign in poetry, govern in prose, and I think you might see a little bit of that with Mr. Trump. If he enacts a sort of a tariff war that could impact Ireland, but it'll also impact American industry all across, not just the United States, but all over the world. It's also very difficult to see how large multinationals, who, remember, export directly into the EU from Ireland, would simply just up and leave and go back to the United States. These things are much more complicated in reality than they sound somewhat in rhetoric. And, you know, the Republican Party is a broad sort of church. In one way, it has been taken over by the extraordinary personality of Mr. Trump. But it is a, you know, there is certainly a protectionist sort of strain running through it. But it has lots of free traders in it still. And I'm not convinced that Trump will simply be able to, within one fell swoop, but in the first year, basically wipe the sort of foreign direct investment map out of Ireland, as some more sonorous voices seem to think. It's an extraordinary win for him. He certainly will be emboldened, but I'm not convinced that this is going to spell sort of doom and gloom.
There's something else I want to ask you about, Gary. What about the European Union, given that we are part of the European Union and many of our fellow members of the European Union are bordered by Russia? And they are very worried that there is going to be a scaling back of Trump's commitment to NATO to protect them against Russia, and that he may also undercut and undermine Ukraine's defence against Russia. How do we then manage our neutrality in a situation like that?
Well, he certainly could do that, Matt, and I think there are real and serious concerns, although the voices from sort of Kiev this morning from Zelensky seem to be somewhat more positive. Donald Trump is basically war averse. He doesn't think the United States should be involved in wars. He also thinks he's a big, strong man, the equivalent of Putin, and that Putin wouldn't dare risk an invasion if he was in power. He feels the same about China. We know his issues regarding Taiwan. What it would mean for Ireland is that maybe we should need to invest more in our defence, and we need to support Ukraine and more out of our budget here. But I think things are certainly going to change globally. I mean, he's climate change now, I think, is to all intents and purposes globally a busted flush. We can assume that Trump will take the United States again out of all these accords and the like. So, as I said, he's a protectionist by heart. He is America first, like the montage you played, Make America Great. I mean, again, it's a fantastic slogan, and certainly the rhetoric of it certainly influenced, I think, a lot of people in the United States that it was time to vote this man back into office.
Now, Danny, is there a possibility now that as we face into our general election that we could have many candidates who will look at the Trump playbook for the American election and say there are certain elements of it that could be imported here to win votes?
There's no doubt that threat is very real. The potential ramping up of rhetoric against migrants about Ireland being for the Irish, etc. like that. I think the fear of that was already being articulated by people in government I was speaking to this morning. Their argument, their counter-argument would be stability and saying, you know, you can't have, I suppose, children or kind of radicals running a government. You know, it takes grown-ups to do so, albeit imperfectly. But yes, you know, record employment levels, surplus, you know, budget surpluses, you know, for probably only the third or fourth time in recent modern Irish history. Why would you jeopardise that with the uncertainty of a ragbag of independents who may not be coherent in the first place anyway, but then are now espousing this sort of more radical view? I think in the wider context, you know...
There's going to be immediately, I can see the text messages coming in from listeners. This is establishment speak. This is mainstream media putting down the people, just like they failed to do in the United States, and that they believe that there will be people who will emerge in the Irish election, not maybe on a national level like Trump, but at a local level, who will actually catch the zeitgeist in relation to immigration and issues like that.
Yeah, we saw that in a small number of cases at local level. You know, there are a certain number of people who got elected to Dublin City Council and elsewhere articulating those views. I suppose the point I was just about to make was that at national level, they're still really only polling at between 1% and 2%. So they're unlikely to penetrate through to a level that they would need to get a seat or two in Dáil Éireann. Now, that's as we speak now. We're expecting the Dáil to be dissolved on Friday with an election call for November 29th. You know, that's what we're expecting. So anything can happen in a campaign, as the 2020 campaign showed us. But I do think there's no doubt that those who have sought to emulate the Trump playbook in Ireland will be emboldened by the size and the scale of the result in the US.
Listener says, Matt, when are you going to understand, as a weak wokey, you're not the majority. Change is coming all over Europe. Do you see that, Gary, as being part of our general election campaign, that there will be now a resurgence of the anti-woke agenda, that there will be candidates who will leap on this thinking that, well, if it gets me one-fifth of the votes in a constituency, that could get me a seat?
Yes, Matt, that danger is there. But again, I hate to be a sort of discordant voice again. But
No, we encourage discordant voices on the programme, Gary. I know some of our listeners don't agree with that, but we do.
As Danny is, but I mean, America has had a binary choice: you're either Trump or Harris. And you know, notwithstanding the fact that Trump has won a decisive victory, I was quite amazed to see he would win the popular vote. I don't think anybody particularly saw that coming. We knew this would be a pretty close contest. We have the difference here in Ireland is we have a different electoral system. In these multi-seat constituencies, you obviously don't need as many votes to get into a seat here. But I would look at the evidence from the European and local elections that Danny looked at, and I don't see the evidence there for any broad, big switch to candidates who might expose what we might call far-right rhetoric in relation to immigration and the...
Well, can you see any of the bigger parties, Gary, deciding to take a more anti-migrant stance? In fact, you could almost argue that many of the things that the government has done, exactly what Fine Gael has done since Simon Harris became leader, is a sort of a quiet, backhanded way of doing that.
Yeah, you could. I mean, that's certainly true. And in one way, you might say that's responding to the genuine concerns that that communities have. I think one of the criticisms of the Harris campaign in the United States was that it wasn't reflecting what people were worried about on the ground, namely the immigration issue and the southern United States and the cost of living. And we know the cost of living here is going to be a huge issue come the election. But I think I have a bit more faith in the political nous of the Irish electorate to be conned by those who might be selling sort of snake oil in relation to immigration come the general election. And there is an advantage to running as a party. Independents work, Matt, when they have a solid sort of grounding behind them and a big group of volunteers to campaign for them. And I'm not really convinced we're going to see a huge influx of these right-wing candidates elected in a few weeks' time.
So could it be, Danny, that here in Ireland it's very different? There are very different issues that matter to people and a very different way about getting the votes. It seems that the Democrats played what they call the ground game, knocking in doors, putting leaflets in people's hands. That didn't work in the United States. It was maybe more a social media campaign, but that here in Ireland it's still going to remain those who can actually knock on the doors.
Yeah, there's been a long-standing tradition in Ireland that even if you're a member of a party, you know, it's often the strength of your personal vote that'll be the difference between you getting elected or not. I think what has been noticeable for this campaign, and I've seen it already in Dublin Central, which is a kind of I think you've discussed it, you know, it's maybe not a bellwether, say, but it certainly will be an important constituency to show the mood of the country, that, you know, my door has been knocked on by pretty much every party so far. Even Claire Daly's supporters were at my door the other night. But I do think, you know, the fact of a Trump victory, the manner of the Trump victory, the fact that he won the popular vote by almost 5 million votes, the fact that he, you know, has won the Electoral College vote, he will have the running of the House, the Senate, and he now has a 6-3 split on the Supreme Court. It will embolden those sort of more extreme voices. As I made the point earlier on, whether they penetrate enough to get a seat in Dáil-Éireann remains to be seen. I think I would agree with Gary. I think that probably it's unlikely, but it does mean that there's likely to be more noise around that debate and that particular issue in the campaign.
Listener says, I'm very anti-Trump, but I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are too far left. They give too many benefits to people who don't work and who never worked. There is no centre-right in Ireland. It's all left-leaning. Daniel McConnell from the Business Post, Gary Murphy, who writes a column for the Irish edition of the Sunday Times and who's a professor at DCU, will be among our election contributors from Friday onwards when our general election is called.
The Last Word on Today FM.